Imagine being guaranteed heaven. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Wednesday, and if by this point in the week you're starting to feel overwhelmed by all your duties, responsibilities, and obligations, come on, stop. Don't let them eat you up. Don't let them make you sick. Don't let them make you nasty or impatient. You gotta laugh. Yeah, you gotta laugh. In the midst of all the things you gotta accomplish, take time to laugh. Laughter's the music of the heart. Laughter's pain turned inside out. Laughter's a shock absorber. Life's hard knocks. Sometimes the only sense you can make out of life is a sense of humor. Oh, you gotta laugh. It makes you feel better. There's all kind of medical studies out that says laughter really helps a person's health. It gets rid of pain by releasing natural painkillers called endorphins. It gives you a lot of oxygen in your lungs. So a lot of reasons why we should laugh. Laughter takes the friction out of life. Here's today's scripture passage. It comes from Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 43. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are undergoing the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." End of the scripture passage. So now you can say, you can understand why I said at the beginning of the program, imagine being guaranteed heaven. Somebody once said, this man lived a thief, he died a thief, he stole heaven. What an incredible opportunity. It's based on faith, right? It's our faith that's so important, and then living our faith on a day-to-day basis. And sometimes, you know, we only come to our senses really late in life, as this man did. I mean, this is the 11th hour for him, and yet it's never too late. It's never too late to hand your life over to Jesus. It's never too late to ask for forgiveness. God's timing is not our timing. Let me read you something that I came across. It's called Always on Time. Not once has God failed to show up on time, to bring answers to prayer, and give peace to my mind. For in the midst of the problem, he was always aware of every burden I carried and each heartache I'd bear. And at just the right moment, he'd intercede and come through. He never once was too late, nor was he ever too soon. He was always on time. He was never caught by surprise. You see, his perspective on things is so much clearer than mine. For I'd worry and squirm and do battle within, while my mind in doubt wondered if I'd survive to the end. But no matter what happened, he stayed faithful to me. Each promise he made, he was consistent to keep. So I'll try hard to remember, when I don't see a sign, that God is still in control, and he is always on time. You know, that points out something that we all need to realize. The dealing with God is such a mystery, huh? We know in Isaiah chapter 5, God says, "Your ways are not my ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts." And I would certainly include, our timing is not always God's timing. that makes us impatient at times. Some people are almost on the verge of despair because they're not patient enough to let God work in their life. They've gone so long without the answer they want or need that they don't think it will ever come. But to use the phrase that comes from opera, it's not over until the fat lady sings. So as long as there's an opportunity for God to work in our life, we have to wait with hopeful, key word there, hopeful expectation. And look at this thief. His life was a mess. He was condemned to death. He's being crucified. There's no evidence that he ever had any other contact with Jesus Christ. They've never even heard of him. Now he's being crucified on the side of Jesus. What was it about Jesus that really touched him profoundly? Was it the way Jesus suffered? Was it the way Jesus had compassion on his mother and St. John underneath the cross? Was it the way Jesus was willing to forgive? There was something about Jesus that triggered his response to the other thief who was cursing and wanting Jesus to do something for him. And then after he rebukes the other thief, he says to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now the kingdom. If he was a Jew, they were very nebulous about whether there was an afterlife or not. And yet he's talking about Jesus' kingdom. And Jesus reveals his ultimate kingdom, paradise. Even on the cross, yes, at that moment on the cross, we had what is called a teachable moment. Jesus taught the man that the end of our lives doesn't occur with death. Death is not the end of our life. Death is the end of the dying process. We believe that death just ushers in another phase of our life called eternal life. And that's the lesson the man learned from Jesus, a painfully teachable moment, when he said to the man, "I tell you the truth." Truth there, key word. "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. You'll give up your spirit, your body will die, but your spirit will live on, because it will be with Jesus in paradise." Now, one of the things we all have to be aware of is God is always trying to teach us very important lessons like that. Teachable moments. They come with sickness sometimes. They come without being out of work. They can come in prison. They can come from an embarrassing experience we had. I remember once a man came to me, and his life was a mess. He kept on going back to alcohol. Fall off the wagon, use the words he would use. His wife was fed up. His wife took the two daughters. He wasn't sure if he'd ever see them again. He was penniless. And I said to him, he's sitting right across from me, face to face. After I heard his story, I said to him, "Well, this, in your opinion, can be the worst moment in your life. But you know what? This could also be the best moment for you right now." And he looked at me like, "What are you talking about?" I said, "You now have hit rock bottom. And you can hand your life over to Jesus Christ. And you can start acting right now today in a way that is productive and not destructive. That's life-giving and not death-giving. and you're scared and you're worried and you're throwing pity parties for yourself. But the fact of the matter is, this could be the turning point in your life if you humbly, and humility is very important for people caught up in some type of an addiction, because addictive people play God in their life. But if you very humbly hand your life over to God, say to God that you've made such a terrible mess out of your life, that you want to put your life back together again, that you will work your program, you'll work the 12-step program, one of them being an expression of sorrow to the people you hurt. And if you will take one moment at a time, trusting in the Lord, going to your AA meetings, trying to get a job, it might not pay a lot at first, but if you consistently work your job, show up on time, have a good attitude, go the extra mile, that will be recognized and that will be rewarded. Then this horrible, horrible moment that you find yourself in could be a powerful moment, a great moment, a teachable moment in which God is profoundly talking to you. It's your call. It's true of all of us, isn't it? Hand your life over to Jesus. Our prayer partners are visiting nurses. These are the nurses who go out and visit people in their homes and try to help them and help them get back on the healthy path. Pray for these. Ask God to keep them safe on all their travels. Today's food for thought. So long as we imagine it is we who have to look for God, we must often lose heart. But it's the other way around. God is looking for us. That's true. God comes after us. St. Paul says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord unless moved by the Spirit. God is proactive. God doesn't sit back. He comes after us. So I say to kindergarten kids, he bugs us, he tugs us, and he hugs us. Today's humor. Driving with my two young boys to a funeral, I tried to prepare them by talking about burial and what we believe happens after death. The boys behaved well during the service, but at the gravesite, I discovered my explanations weren't as thorough as I thought. In a loud voice, my four-year-old asked, Mom, yes, I whispered, what's in the box? Apparently, she hadn't quite explained that's where the dead body is. Oh, you gotta laugh. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Drop me a note. Let me know you listened to the program. Send me your prayer intentions. You can let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. You can write me a check for my Hospital for the Poor. You make it out to TASH, Inc. Send it to 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. God will bless you for that. And you can always visit my website at Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light, and where there's sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.